We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Learfield IMG College, this is Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics. Aggies All the Way is presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, it's another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast, and I'm fired up for our next guest because normally in the course of a season, he and I are talking three or four times a week in interviews, and then the season ends, and we go months without talking to each other. So it's good to bring in the head basketball coach at Utah State, Craig Smith. Coach, how the heck are you?
Hey, Scotty, it's great to hear that voice again, and I love Aggies All the Way, baby.
You know it.
I love it. I love it, but... things are going very, very well, with all things considered, certainly. It's so great to hear your voice, and that tells me basketball season's right around the corner.
You know, it's not too long before you get these guys back in the gym and you get after it again. There's no doubt. And so, there's so much to talk about, but I did want to get your thoughts on what it's been like. Obviously, we talked after the tournament got canceled and how difficult that was, but to send everybody home and hope that they're working out and practicing and doing what they're supposed to be doing, how difficult has that been for this coaching staff?
How long ago does that seem, by the way?
Like 3 years ago. Like, yeah.
It's incredible. But, you know, it's like anything. You deal with like Kenny Rogers said, there's a winning hand and a losing hand, and you just got to find a way to win that hand. And that's where we're at right now. And so all of our guys have, a lot of different circumstances that they're in, depending on, you know, Sean Bairstow's in Brisbane, Australia, and Liam is up in Prince Rupert, Canada, and we got Kuba back in Poland, and, you know, our Utah kid, you know, Brock Miller's been here pretty much the whole time, and Kata's been here the whole time, and Stephen Ashworth is an incoming freshman that just got back from his mission on May 6th, and so he can't wait to get here. So we have guys with all these different set of circumstances and not having gym access, so how are you going about things and so on and so forth. But the one thing, Scotty, I haven't lost any sleep over that. We have a really determined group. We have a hungry group. And so just when we're calling and checking in with the guys, you know, they've been very what's the right word? They've been able to be creative and find different ways, whether it's lifting and conditioning, or, you know, working on their ball handling or shooting. And so, like, Bairstow, for example, his mom is a coach. His mom's been a coach for forever. She's getting up at the crack of dawn, running to this practice, and at night going here. And she's always wanted to have a backyard with a hoop. So, like Sean said, this was the perfect excuse. They put in turf in the backyard, put in a hoop. And I was like, how's that working for you? He goes, well, it takes a little while to get used to, but I think my ball handling is going to be way better because you have to dribble it so much harder, right? Like, to get the ball to come back up. And so everyone has a little bit different circumstances, but you've got to deal with it. But I know these guys are really excited to get back and get rolling. And, you know, their calendar is a little different now, right? Like, they've been gone for two months, just over that, 9 weeks. They still had to finish their school, which got done, I think, 2 weeks ago. And, by the way, we had the best team GPA that we've had in over 15 years. They can't go back any further. So that was exciting. I worried more about our guys finishing up in the classroom strong than getting in the gym. But that was exciting news. So I know they've been working hard and being very diligent. And I also know they can't wait to get back. So we'll see when they're allowed to get back and get rolling in full force, hopefully this summer.
When Namish Keita calls you up and said, Coach, I want to go for a junior season, obviously that's got to lift a lot of weight off your shoulders knowing the big man's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, we all know how what kind of person he is and what kind of a player he is and the impact that he can have. And, you know, had an unbelievable freshman year, and I thought he finished this season incredibly well. If you really look at what he did the last 10, 12 games, he was very dominant. And his numbers were off the chart. And so, and there was a lot that goes into it. I mean, coming back from that injury was much more serious than people realized. Took him quite some time to come back. A big part of that is he got bigger. He was just a lot stronger. You know, at the end of last year, he was 218. At the start of this year, he was 245. So it was a lot more work to get that leg stronger, equal to the other one. But once then he had the setback at Florida. But then once he settled in and just started trusting it, that was, I think, the biggest thing, and building confidence, right? And getting comfortable back on the floor. And so, you know, Nimi's got great self-awareness. You know, when you watch him on the floor, obviously he plays with tremendous passion and guys can feed off of that. And he maybe showed a little more frustration at times this year. And I think a lot of that was just being in a rhythm and finding a rhythm. And so, you know, he went through the process last year of the combine, and I think he learned a lot about it, and it's not easy. Like, and you got to be good, and he is very good. But I think he just felt like, you know, I got work to do. I got to get stronger. I got to get better at this, that, and the other. And so we're back, and I know he's been working very, very diligently at improving his weaknesses and then maintaining his strengths. And so we're excited to have him back, and he'll be it's like I told him the other day, when he came here, right, he's a typical freshman, but he showed up like 2 days after school started, all this, and he just always looked up to Diogo as the big brother, right? And Diogo, obviously, from Portugal. And I said to Nimi, you know, you always think of Diogo as this older guy, but when you got here, he was a junior. And now you are a junior. And how do you think those freshmen are going to be looking at you? And now it's time to pay it forward, right? And get back to those guys. And it's amazing the transformation in guys from their freshman to sophomore year. And then I think there's always a huge jump from their sophomore to junior year in not only their game, but maturity and everything else that goes with it.
You bring up the fact that he got here right, you know, in August, right when school is starting. And so he came in late that year, and then last year he dealt with the injuries in the offseason. I got to imagine having a full offseason to really just focus in on his craft, and hopefully you guys are able to welcome them back into the workout facilities here really soon and have a full summer of just, you know, working and getting stronger and getting better. After the last 2 years, he really hasn't had that opportunity. I got to imagine that's worth its weight in gold.
That's such a great point, Scotty, and I'm glad you said that. You know, coming over to the state, he didn't graduate high school till June 26th. and he did some stuff with his national team. And then last year, it was just such a, you know, the guy comes over here, first time in America. You're here for whatever, 9 straight months, goes to the NBA combine, which is a great problem to have. But now you're flying here, you're going there, you're just kind of all over doing a lot of different things. And he certainly got better in that time. Go through the combine, came back, worked out for, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. Then he went back home to Portugal. I know he's really close with his mom and his grandmother and all of his siblings. And so he's literally and figuratively his siblings really look up to him, and as does that country. And so a big reason he played in the U-20s was because his home country hosted it. And of course they won it. And that's something he'll take with him for the rest of his life. And he was a major part of it. And obviously he gets the injury over there, but he was just bouncing here, there, everywhere. And I think that was a big reason. He just knew he has to have a full off season of great training where he can really work on his strength and lateral ability and amongst a few other things. And so stretching his range and tightening up his handle, those types of things, which I know sounds maybe a little bizarre for a 6'11 guy but he does need to get better with some of that stuff. And I think you could see some improvement last year with his free throw shooting, much, much better. And I anticipate that to keep moving forward that way as well. But it goes back to having great self-awareness. I think that's one of the most important attributes, not only an athlete, but any person in any walk of life can have, of just being very honest with yourself of what you bring to the table, what you're very good at, what do you got to get better at, and just being truthful. And he was able to look himself in the mirror and say, I have to be better to get to that, goal. He loves Utah State. He loves being a part of Cache Valley and representing this place. And that's one thing. Mimi's a very, very loyal guy. And so we always want what's best for him, but certainly we're excited to have him back.
So you announced a couple of signees. First off, Zyman Zapala. And I didn't get a pronunciation guide, so trust me, when the season rolls around, we'll be ready. But talk about the big man from Poland that you signed and how excited you are to welcome him.
All right. Now, I'm not rolling you under the bus, Scotty, okay? It's actually Szymon.
Wow.
And it took me forever to have it. Szymon Zapala. That's what I've been told a couple times. I mean, I'm not, a dictionary or thesaurus or whatever you have. I'm just lucky to have spell check. But Szymon is a very talented guy. He's a legitimate 6'11", 240 pounds, 245 is where he generally weighs in at. And he's a big dude. And but he's very, very talented. He's very smart. He's super intelligent. Forever it was down to it was Stanford and us. And then, of course, some other high majors come in late like it always happens. But he's very loyal, very determined. He's done his research so thoroughly. Like this guy,
wow.
He asks the most amazing questions. And I know what everybody wants to hear is how is he on the floor? And he is he's a skilled big guy. He hasn't been playing basketball really long, big hands, soft hands, good feet, very good touch around the basket. And he's even stretching his game out and he shot it pretty well. Outside. Now, certainly he's got to get better, keep getting better, but he's been well coached. He's played at a high level. And it's just a young man that he just gets it, And so there's going to be an adjustment phase like every freshman. But he's a talented guy that can do a lot of things. I think he fits our style of play extremely well. I think we can utilize him in a lot of different ways, whether it's in the low post, the mid post, out on the three-point line. We do a lot of stuff, especially with Nimi out on the perimeter where Nimi's a very good passer and he can make good decisions when we can utilize him with dribble handoffs and just a lot, just provides a lot of versatility. So, getting him here was huge and not only for next year, but obviously down the road.
And then Max Shulga from the Ukraine. Talk about this young man because, and again, I'm just watching some YouTube video that I'm Googling, but looks like he's quite a shooter.
He's a really, really good shooter. My son calls right when we're on this. Like, and I haven't had a phone call all day. Well, sort of, but, Max is an excellent shooter. And we felt like that was an area, you know, we didn't shoot, we just, besides Sam, like, we just didn't shoot it great last year, yeah. Certainly. And the year before, we were better, but just kind of inconsistent with some stuff. And Max is a lights out shooter. Like, you're almost surprised when it doesn't go in. But quite frankly, that was big. But what really attracted us to him is he's kind of a jack of all trades guy. Like, he has some of Diogo in him. And there was another kid that we love coaching at South Dakota named Tyler Peterson. He's got a lot of that kind of stuff where he's like a Swiss Army knife. I know you've heard me say that before about Diogo. Like, as great a shooter is Max is, he's just a basketball player. Like, you look up at the box score and he's got, you know, 7-8 rebounds, and he's a very good passer. You know, he got 5-6 assists, and he just makes the right play all the time. And so, he's just one of those guys that really fits our brand of basketball and how we play him, because he can make a decision. He loves to play basketball. He's so fired up to be here, just like Shimon is. I mean, those guys every day, coach, I got this done. Like, getting all their paperwork done, getting all, because they got quite a process, right, to get over here. And so they're both ambitious guys that love to compete, that love to play. And Max is just, I think he led, like, I don't remember the exact number, but he was very high in steals, you know, over there without gambling. He just has these instincts that maybe some people don't value, but we value in a major way. And so I think he's going to be, and he's young. He's only 17. So he'll be a very young guy as he gets over here, much like Liam McChesney was last year. So we're super excited about those two guys. I love our freshman class. You know, you have those two guys added with Stephen Ashworth, who just came back from his mission, played at Lone Peak High School. You know, he's 5'11", 6', and he's just got a flair for the game. And maybe you're going to ask me about these guys. I don't know, but we're going to run with it.
Let's go.
But he just knows how to play. If you guys remember, 2 years ago, they were like in the national high school tournament, and he had 26 in the second half against Mount Verde Prep. And so he had committed, you know, with the old previous coaching staff, and we're excited. He's back. He texted me, coach, when can I get on campus? When can I get on? Like, he's so fired up. And so, and then Raleigh Worcester, who is Mr. Basketball in Montana and like back-to-back Gatorade players of the year. He's 6'3", 205, and that guy's just a baller too. Like, knows how to play, can really score. His athleticism was really shot up over the last year. The Worcester family, actually, he lived in Ogden for quite some time before their family moved up to Montana. So I know Dad's been to a ton of games here, and they really understand the tradition here. And Raleigh's a guy that we can just play all over the place as well. Point guard, playmaking guard at the two. He just, with his size and understanding and knowledge of the game, there's not much that he can't do out there. And then you had Matthew Wickheiser, who just got back from Italy serving his mission. He's 6'10", can really shoot it. And we're excited. We think he's got a chance to be very good and to be able to help us here down the road. So, love that class. We have one scholarship available, and we'll just see if we use it. You know, if we see someone that we think is going to help us, whether it's in the short term or the long term, and it's the right fit, and it always has to be the right fit, we can go ahead and use that. But if not, we can also sit on it and wait for next year.
You know, it's interesting because I think it was Jeff Goodman who tweeted out a running total, and I think there were over 800, 850 kids in the transfer portal. How difficult is it to kind of work through that? Because I'm sure you're getting phone calls. Hey, check out this kid. Maybe this kid's interested, and you want to make your team better, but you just don't want to pull the trigger on a kid, you know, sight unseen, especially with this inability to really meet with kids during the whole COVID thing. So how difficult has that process been to make sure that you bring in good quality players, but also guys that are going to be a good match for the locker room?
God, you're good at your job. You are. Is that question? Like, I can't. So, you know, you go through this whole pandemic, right, and the quarantine and everyone at home. And honestly, besides, like, obviously we can't be on the road, all of our players being gone. But at the same time, in a weird way, it's been very business as usual in a lot of ways. It's just we've had to watch a ton. I have literally notebooks, red, you know, just plain notebooks of paper of so many guys that I've watched, just whether it's their high school team, AU team, junior college team, or a couple of kids in D2 that are going to transfer up, or obviously D1 at every level. And then you add on D1s that got to sit out and grad transfers. And not only that, for a long time, there was the possibility that the NCAA was going to allow the one-time transfers where you don't have to sit out. So now you're playing that game. Well, are we going to take this guy or are we not? If they pass this, if they don't, you know, so you have that whole deal. And so, quite frankly, until last week, I don't want to say stressed out of my mind, but I would, it was weighing on me personally and on our staff. Like, we gotta, you know what I mean? We gotta keep building to the, and we're building a program. And when you're looking at this, it's easy for fans to always think short term, building for next year. And as the head coach, we're building for next year, but we're also building for 4 years from now.
Yeah.
And it's always a balancing act. And like, one of the best moves we made since we got here was signing Marco Anthony with our last scholarship last year. And it would have been easy to take a grad transfer or this guy or that guy to try to bolster our team, last year's team, right? But like, we had known Marco. Marco's going to be very good. And he improved so much this sit-out year. And he transferred from Virginia and blah, blah, blah. And that guy's going to play a lot of minutes for us, because we knew we were going to lose three guards, right? Diogo Brito, Sam Merrill, and Abel Porter. So to have that kind of experience, to be injected into our lineup like that, will be huge. So you're always balancing that. And you know, like, in terms of, like, Shimon and Max, and I love the guys that we had early signed. Like, all those guys really fit each other. And then you add Liam McChesney, who, you know, I'm not into the 4-star, 5-star, 3-star. Like, I didn't even realize Liam was a 4-star guy, like, until I saw that Shimon was a 4-star. I didn't even know Shimon was. I was with one of our assistants, and he read the tweet, and I was like, he's a 4-star? I didn't know that. Like, I don't pay attention to that stuff. Like, you know, like, how many stars was Sam? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But that's a whole nother subject. So that stuff don't matter. But you know, having Liam sit out last year and redshirting, and that was a long, arduous process too. And then he came to the realization it was probably best for him. But to have that kid too in this class, you know, at 6'9", 6'10", with his skill level, his upside is off the charts. But you got to go produce, you know. So it's stressful without a question. And on top of it, because they can't visit campus, we can't go see them. And relationships is what we really pride ourselves on. So that made it difficult. But like I said, really excited about them. And now they got to go produce. And we got a lot of new pieces. And so hopefully, you know, we can get on the court at least some of the time this summer and see what we can do.
One, and I know it wasn't a hotly debated topic among coaches in the Mountain West Conference, was the increase on the schedule from 18 to 20. And everybody's coming at it from a different angle, because if you're San Diego or Las Vegas, it's pretty easy to get teams to come there. It's not easy to get people to come to Logan, because you guys are really, really good and it's a really difficult place to play. So I got to imagine I can kind of tell where you were at on that, but what were those conversations like? And are you overall pleased with that decision in a couple of years to move to 20 games?
Yeah, that was a tough one. I was definitely all for it earlier on, and I still am that way, because it does give us an extra home game. I'm a bit of a traditionalist in that everyone plays each other twice. You know, our first year we had to play at Boise. They weren't able to come to our place. And who was the other? I think we played UNLV at home and didn't go to UNLV this year. Played Nevada at home, didn't go there. Played at the Pit, and they didn't play here.
Yeah.
So, you know, the league is trying to tier it. Obviously, we were tier it through the scheduling, meaning the best teams play the best teams, and the teams that the league thinks are going to be at the bottom play at the bottom. And so, but everyone thought we were going to be at the bottom, so we weren't playing a couple of the top teams, right? And so they. So anyway, that's one way of kind of eliminating it. The hard part is, and we had an insanely difficult time scheduling last year. And part of it is because people felt like we were going to be good. But I think a big part of it too is the league shortened our season by a week, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're trying to schedule all these non-conference games to get to 31 games, like that really, really tightened things up. And so when you are playing conference games the first week of December and then the second week of December, so now you have league games, so you're not playing, you lose out a week of opportunities to play high majors. Then, like this year, the next week was our finals week. Well, we can't travel during finals week, and neither can anyone else. So, and most schools have a stipulation where you can't play. And then you have one more week in there where you're just trying to jam those games in. And so it just makes it difficult that way. It is a balancing act because the Pac-12, the Big Ten, I think there's another high major that went to 20 league game schedules. I think the A-10 went to 22 league game schedules.
Wow.
So it's almost like a lot of these leagues are kind of trying to squeeze schools like us out of that mix, if that makes sense. But I've always said, like, if you look at what the NCAA does, you don't necessarily get penalized for playing quad one games, right? You get rewarded. If you win that game, I mean, that's a huge notch in the belt, right, when it comes to at-large bids. So I get maybe the mentality of not coming to Logan at the same time. Like, if you come here and beat us, that's going to be a quad. The last 2 years, that's a no-brain quad one win. So I don't, you know, that's why St. Mary's and us got together. Like, why are we not playing each other? You know what I mean? And so obviously we went to their place last year. They're coming out to our place this year, and we're hoping to continue that series. It hasn't been decided yet, but on our end, we're hoping to. And so I just think it's a win-win for both parties. So scheduling is always one of the hardest things to do. We're actually pretty much done. I think we got one more game to get. You know, at this time last year, we had 4 or 5 games to get. It was I guess that's what happens when you lose Sam Merrill too. and you get the scheduling done before Nimi decided on what he was doing.
There you go. Get those contracts locked in. You know, with that said, and final question, I've probably kept you way too long anyway, but.
Oh no, I got all day.
I love it.
Beautiful sunny day. Yeah.
I love it.
You're my guy.
In a weird, like, obviously Sam is just on another level, and I can't imagine how much of a joy it was to coach him, but to bring in kind of a young team, a lot of freshmen might get some opportunity, a lot of guys might get some new looks. Is there an element, kind of a resurgence of, okay, that chapter is done, and now we're excited, and let's go on this next one? Is there kind of that vibe around that team right now?
Well, I don't know for sure, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like that. That's the hardest part is we've had obviously a ton of conversations, as a staff, and then some, you know, in staying in touch with our guys. That has never been brought up per se, but we haven't all been together doing workouts, and you know what I mean? The athletic trainer hears this and the strength coach hears this. So I do think, you know, it's the next step, right? You got a guy like Justin Bean and Brock Miller and Nimi now are all juniors. Like, those guys were always the young dudes. Now it's, you know, and you got Fonz who really came on, I thought, late in the year. And so now those guys are good dudes where they can look at themselves and say, you know what? We got to carry this mantle forward, right? We got to keep this train going. And I don't even have to tell them that. They just do it. I know they have their own little chats going. Marco Anthony's been on the national championship team, and he's seen how we do it. And he's a junior, right? So you got – oh, and then you get a guy like Sean Bairstow, and even though Liam redshirted, or a guy like Trevitt, like, you be around – how lucky were those young guys to be around a guy like Sam Merrill? And quite frankly, Abel and Diogo are pros. Like, those guys – maybe they don't get all of the glitz and the glory or the glam, you know, all that, whatever it's called, but they understand the value and how good those guys were and how they approach things daily. Like, I mean, Diogo's like he's like a professional, I don't know what you call it. He's so in tune with his body, what he puts into his body, how he stretches, how he does his, like, and these young guys watch him every day, how he does that. You know what I mean? Always inquisitive, asking questions. And so for those guys to be able to be around that, you know, I don't know if I know I'm not totally answering your question because I don't know, but I do think it's just like the rite of passage, right? And understanding, that's why these guys decided to come here is to carry on that rich tradition that's been going on for forever. And so, and then when you win, you know how special that is, and you'll do anything ethically and morally right to get back to that spot, because you know how special and how hard it truly is to do it. And so we're, I think, really excited about the season. We'll be a lot different. You know, the fans are going to come to games and they're going to be like, oh, who's this guy? You know, who's this guy? And, you know, because it's not only the five new freshmen, plus still having one scholarship available, plus, you know, the two, Marco Anthony redshirting and Liam McChesney. So that's seven new guys. That's basically half the team in a lot of respect. And so, you know, we're excited about our talent, but at the end of the day, you got to produce.
Yeah. Can't wait to see you guys back out on the court for sure. Coach, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And the start of the season can't get here quick enough.
Aggies all the way, baby!
Love it.
Thanks for having me on, Scotty. It's always great talking to you.
This has been Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics, presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. The proceeding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Aggie Sports Network.